Take your Bibles and please open them up, if you would, to James, the second chapter, James chapter 2, as we continue our study of the book of James. And James is, as we've been seeing, is a very practical letter. It talks a lot about working out your salvation, working out your faith. There's a lot of emphasis on works in the book of James, and it's the Proverbs of the New Testament. So a lot of emphasis on works, but I don't want us to miss the fact that not only does James emphasize works, there is a great emphasis in the book of James on faith. And you all remember all my sermons, but I'm going to remind you. Remember the first sermon I preached on the beginning of James? It says, count it all joy when various trials come your way, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And he's talking about there about trials and how God uses trials in our life, Danny. God uses trials to build our faith. And then he goes on to say, and when you're in trials, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally without reproach, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, nothing doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So he says, you know, if you're going through a trial and you need wisdom, ask God, but ask him in faith. Then you remember last week we took a look at chapter 2 in the beginning, the chapter 2, verse 1. And it says there, Brethren, do not hold your faith in the Lord Jesus, glorious Lord Jesus Christ, with an attitude of partiality. He talks about faith. Then down in verse 5, I think, is 2:5, he says, listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith? See all the emphasis on faith? And we're going to see in chapter 5, Lord willing, if he tarries till we get here or he allows me to be here. When we get to chapter 5, it talks about when you get sick. If you're sick, call for the elders, it says. And let the elders anoint the sick and pray over the sick. And then he says, and a prayer of faith will heal the sick. So he has a lot to say about faith. And we're going to be looking the next 2 weeks at verses 14 down through 26 of chapter 2. But it's interesting, in those verses, faith is mentioned 11 times, the word faith. And the word believe is mentioned 3 times. So he's talking a lot about faith. He emphasizes works. But don't miss the fact that he's talking about faith also. And in these verses we're going to look at this morning, he mentions different kinds of faith. Now, let me say something. Not all faith is good faith. Not all faith, not all that people call faith is good faith. In fact, some things that people call faith, very dangerous. It's bad, in fact. And he mentions in the verses we're going to look at this morning, 3 different kinds of faith. And 2 of those kinds of faith, you don't want to have. You don't want to have. Only 1 of those kind of faith can save you. Can take you to heaven. Only 1 of them. And folks, this is an important message, because sometimes people think, listen, they think they have faith, but the faith that they have is not going to take them to heaven. So this is an important section in James. And this morning we're going to look at 3 different kinds of faith, okay? Number 1 is found in verses 14 through 17, and it's dead faith. Listen as I read. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, if it has no works, if faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Now, the first faith that he mentions is dead faith. Here's the description of dead faith. Number one, it is fruitless faith. You see verse 14? Look at 14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and he has no works? You see, dead faith has no works. Dead faith is a profession of faith without a practical expression of faith. It's all talk. It's all talk. Big talk, little do. Or wait, no. Big talk, no do. No do. This pictures someone who goes around saying, I believe. I have faith. I'm a Christian. But it doesn't show in their life. It doesn't show up in their life. You probably never know they were a Christian by looking at them. They talk good. They say, I have faith. I prayed the prayer. I prayed the prayer. I'm a Christian. But there's no fruits. There's no good works. Listen, on a continual basis. It's kind of like a guy that bought some property. He bought it in the wintertime. It was kind of like a farm type place, and he was told that all these trees on the property were fruit trees. It was in the winter. All these trees are fruit trees, all kinds of fruit. But lo and behold, spring comes and summer comes and no fruit. Not the first year, but after 5 years, no fruit. 10 years, no fruit. What would we conclude? Well, one of two things you're going to conclude here, folks. What's that? Shouldn't have bought that farm. Yeah. Well, what would you conclude? Number one, somebody told a lie. Somebody said they're fruit trees when, guess what? They're not fruit trees. And then you couldn't tell. But year after year, there's no fruit. So either they're not fruit trees, or what's the other conclusion? They're dead. They're dead. Because you know what? Dead trees don't bear fruit. And you know what? Dead faith doesn't bear fruit. It's fruitless. The second thing, it's a description of this faith. It is powerless faith. See, 14b, James asks the question, can that faith save him? And the emphasis is on that. That faith. Can that faith, he says, save them? And the answer to that question is what? It's a big fat no. I mean, it's really easy to see this in the original language that this was written in. There's two ways to ask a question. One way to ask a question begs a yes answer. The other way to ask a question begs or demands a no answer. And this is in that second form that begs a no answer. So he says, can that kind of faith save someone? And the answer is a big fat no. That kind of faith, dead faith, cannot save anyone. Just making a profession without true heart conversion can't save a person. Dead faith. Powerless. It's powerless faith. Now listen. Let me make something clear. Make no mistake about it. We are saved through faith. Apart from works, we're gonna get into this next week. You got to come back next week because it's an important sermon next week. But we are saved through faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and you know it. You can say it with me. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved through faith. We're saved through faith. The basis of salvation is grace. The channel through which we receive salvation is faith, not works. Not works, lest any man should boast. But dead faith, profession, without practical expression of that faith, can't save anybody. Powerless. It's fruitless faith. It's powerless faith. And then he says one other thing. It's useless faith. You see, he starts off verse 14. What use is it? Or the King James says, what doth it profit? That word is the word, it's the same word in a different form that Jesus used when he said, what doth it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus said, what profit is it? What profit? This is the same word the Apostle Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 15 when he wrote, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus and it was from human motives, what profit is that to me? What advantage is it? Paul's willing to put his life on the line for Jesus Christ, but if it were just for human motives, what does it profit me, he says. James asks here, what profit is dead faith? And he answers, you know what he answers? It's useless. It's useless. It does not profit the one who professes it, and it does not profit anyone else either. And he gives the example in verses 15 and 16. He says, somebody comes into your church, and here they are. They don't have adequate clothing. And they don't even have daily food. And you say to them, be warmed and be filled. Go in peace. Doesn't that sound spiritual? Doesn't that sound spiritual? In fact, the go in peace, that was a common Jewish farewell. Go in peace. Go in shalom. Common Jewish farewell. That's what Eli said to you. Remember Hannah? Remember Hannah prayed in the temple? And after she prayed, Eli said, go in peace. May God answer your prayer. That's a common Jewish farewell. And it sounds so spiritual. Oh, sister, go in peace. Be warmed and be filled. But you don't do anything. What's the profit in that? That's useless. Sounds good. Sounds spiritual. So spiritual. But you don't give them what's necessary for the body. James says, what use is that? That's dead faith. Yeah. It's useless. Verse 20, but are you willing to recognize it? He says, are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works, useless. Yeah. It's useless. It will not save you, and it doesn't benefit others around you. So, let's all stop now and turn off all devices. If you have any phones, take a break. I left mine at home, so I'm good. But is this important? Folks, this is vitally important. Because, you know, there are those today who make professions of faith and they're not saved. They're not saved. You can profess Christ and not possess Christ. Just merely giving an intellectual assent to the gospel, coming forward for an invitation, praying a prayer, going to an evangelistic crusade, raising your hand. A profession of faith without a changed heart doesn't save. And when one is truly saved, the profession of faith will show up in practical expressions of faith. If it does not, in all likelihood, it's dead faith. It's dead faith. It's as dead as a corpse in a morgue. DOA. Dead on arrival. It's fruitless. It's powerless. It's useless. It's dead. No, we don't want dead faith. But then he goes on to speak of another type of faith. Number two on your outline, demonic faith. Verse 19, look at verse 19. You believe that God is one? You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. That's another kind of faith. That's demonic faith. Well, what's demonic faith? What is it? Two things. It is an intellectual assent faith, or you could put down head knowledge faith. James says in verse 19, he begins, you believe that God is one, you do well. Do you see it? You believe God is one? That is a reference to the greatest Jewish profession of faith in the Old Testament. It's called the Shema. Deuteronomy 6:4. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Shema, Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. It's the greatest profession of faith in the Jewish religion. That profession of faith was to be prayed every morning and every night in the Jewish prayer. Every Jew was to pray that morning and evening. That was the verse, probably the first verse, that Jewish parents would teach their kids. That verse is pronounced at the beginning of all synagogue services. This is a great pronouncement of faith. Jehovah is the one and only absolute God. There's none other. James says, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that, Faith Bible Fellowship? Yes. You do well. The demons believe that. And they shudder. I'm going to say something might shock you. Maybe you never thought about this. There's no such thing as an atheistic demon. There are no Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris's, or Christopher Hitchens among the demon hordes. There's no new atheists among the demons. Demons, they believe. But they've got demonic faith. Now listen to what they believe. All demons know and believe that in the God of the Bible. All demons believe that God sent his son Jesus Christ into the world. They all believe in the virgin birth of Christ. They all know and believe that Jesus is God the Son. They know his true identity. Remember when he went to the land of the Gerasenes and the man that was demon-possessed ran up to him, fell down and said, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the living God? Have you come to torment us before the time?" They knew his true identity. They know who Christ is. They know, not only do they know that, but they know, all demons know and believe that Christ died on the cross for our sins. And much to their chagrin, all demons know that 3 days later, he walked out of the tomb. We have a living Savior. Come on, get excited. Come on, wake up. We have a living Savior. They know that. They believe that. They know he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father on high, from whence he will come to judge the quick and the dead. All demons know that. They believe it. They all believe in heaven. They all believe in hell. But they're not saved. They're not saved. They know all these things. They give intellectual assent to all these things, but they're not saved. So what does this say? It is a faith that gives intellectual assent to truth without receiving that truth and submitting the will to that truth and allowing the truth to get down into the heart. Demonic faith is belief in doctrine alone. Now, let me ask you a question. Is biblical doctrine important? Yes. Is biblical doctrine important?
Yes.
Thank you. It's extremely important. I mean, the cults believe a lot of stuff. But they believe false doctrine. Doctrine is extremely important. Amen. But you do not get saved. Listen to this. Some of you might say, "I don't know if I agree with this, Pastor." But you don't get saved by believing in doctrine. You get saved by believing in a person through doctrine. Through right doctrine. Doesn't say believe in doctrine and you will be saved. It says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Amen. Now it's the Christ of the Bible. It's right doctrine, yes, but just giving intellectual assent to a creed or to a confession of faith does not save a person. Amen. It's intellectual, it's head knowledge. And folks, some people that have that kind of faith, listen to this, are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. Because it's not just believing in doctrine. It's having trust and faith in the person and the work of Christ. And receiving him into our hearts that brings salvation to the soul. Demonic faith is a head knowledge faith only, or an intellectual assent faith only. Or it's an experiential faith, number two on there, on your outline. Experiential faith. Because James says, not only do demons believe, they shudder. They shudder. They have an emotional experience. Now, the word shudder, or King James says tremble, I think. Does it say tremble? Tremble. A very interesting word. It means to be rough or uneven on a surface. It means to get goosebumps on the skin. You ever get goosebumps? Not only do demons believe in God, but when it comes to God and the presence of God, they have an emotional experience. The hairs on their arms stand up and they get goosebumps. They get an experience. Yeah. but they're not saved. Because you know what? You're not saved by having an experience. You're not. You know, I've talked to people for a long time about Christ, you know, over the years, and you'd be surprised at what people tell me when I ask, are you a Christian? Do you have God in your heart and your life? Oh, they'll say, yeah, I do. Well, tell me about it. Well, 5 years ago, my spouse died. And I had this peace in my life. And it was just, I know it wasn't for me, so it must have been from God. So I must have God in my life because I felt that peace. And was that God? I have no doubt that that was God. Does God bless non-Christians and Christians? He sure does. Praise God. But I have to say, you know, that experience, that's a wonderful experience. But do you know the Lord? Have you received Christ into your heart? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Or I ask a person, are you a Christian? Do you know the Lord? Oh, yes. Well, tell me about it. How do you know? 10 years ago, I had cancer. And you know what? I prayed. And I went into remission. There's not been any cancer since. I know God did that. Now, you know what? I have no doubt in my heart, probably God did do that. He probably did because he's a gracious God. But you know what? But if you receive Christ as your Savior, are you trusting his finished work on the cross for the payment for your sins? And have you received the living Christ into your heart? See, that's different. In fact, I remembered one young girl, this is the honest truth, that I talked to, and I said, are you a Christian? She said, I know God's in my life. I said, how do you know? Here's what she said. I know it because I lost 300 pounds. I said, oh? She said, yeah. I lost 300 pounds. And you know, I couldn't have done that without the Lord's help. So I know he's in my life. Did God help her do that? Probably. I may. But have you trusted Christ? See, some people look at an experience and think because they have had an experience, they're Christians. And let me say this. I have nothing against experience. I want to experience everything that God wants me to experience in the Christian life. I want to experience Jesus more and more and more and more. Every day. But experience doesn't save. In fact, listen to this. Satan is big on experiences. And he will give people experiences as a substitute for the real thing. And they may have faith, but it's demonic faith. It's experiential faith. Faith in the experience and not in Jesus Christ. And that's demonic faith. Demonic faith is either just intellectual assent, head knowledge faith, or it can be experiential faith. The demons believe and they shudder. Dead faith, not good. Demonic faith, not good. But then he gets to a third type of faith, and that is dynamic faith. Dynamic faith. Verse 18, look at verse 18 in your Bible. But someone may well say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. James gives a hypothetical situation here. He speaks of dynamic faith. How does he describe it? Three things. First of all, it is fruitful faith. Fruitful faith. Dynamic faith contrasts with dead faith. You remember, dead faith is fruitless. It has no works. Dynamic faith issues forth in good works. Good works. You have faith, or you listen, you say you have faith and have no works. I have works. The word works there is the word we get energy from, English word energy. And what is energy? Energy is the capacity of a physical system to do, come on, science guys, to do work. And so dynamic faith, there's a changed life here, folks. When you get saved, it issues forth in good works. In good works. It's a powerful faith. This is the kind, number two, powerful faith. It's the kind of faith that brings salvation. This is the Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 faith, right? For by grace are you saved through, and I'll put in there, dynamic faith. That not of yourselves, gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How do you spell faith? F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. That's dynamic faith. You believe in Christ, and you believe the right doctrine, but it goes beyond that. You trust Christ to come into your heart. And what happens? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Don't stop there. What's verse 10 say? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see what he says? Yeah, you're saved by faith. But you're saved by faith so that you can go out and do good works. Dynamic faith issues forth in true good works. Martin Luther said that. He said, listen, we are not saved by faith plus works, but we are saved by a faith that works. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're saved by faith that works. That works. Dead faith will not save you. Demonic faith will not save you. Dynamic faith can save you. It's a powerful faith. It can change your life. He will change your life as you have that dynamic faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's powerful. It's powerful. It's a powerful faith. And then number three, dynamic faith is a visible faith. You see, James was, you know where James was from? I'm pretty sure of this. He was from the state of Missouri. You know, Missouri is the show me state. And you see what he wrote? He writes, show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Everybody listening, everybody that's sleeping, wake up. No, this is, think about this. Is faith visible? Now, how many, think about it. Is faith visible? Now, think about it. Is faith visible? How many of you think faith is visible? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you think faith isn't visible? Raise your hand. Oh. We're starting a division here in the church. Got a couple dissenters here. You know what? I'm looking out at you. Are you people of faith? I don't see it. Faith. Yeah, we got a faith Bible fellowship. I can't see your heart. Roderick, I can't see faith. Listen, somebody said faith is like calories. You can't see them, but you can see the results. Is that true? Anybody ever seen a calorie? I've never seen a calorie, but boy, have I seen the results of calories. Can I get an amen? 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 Faith is like that. You see, I can't look into your heart. You can't look into my heart. You can't see my faith. But you can see the results of my faith. That's why James says, you show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Amen. You see. You can see your faith at work, or the work of your faith. True, biblical, dynamic faith shows up on the outside in good works. It does. So what do we conclude? Again, I'm going to give you a little case study and ask you, what do you conclude? So listen. Two people come forward at the end of a sermon in response to an invitation to receive Christ and be saved. They both express desire to be saved, and they kneel down right at the altar here, and they pray a prayer. They pray a prayer. Both make a profession of faith. However, as time passes, the one person is growing in their faith. You see evidence of growth and maturity. You see that they're not only growing in their faith, but they're bearing some fruit of the Holy Spirit. Fruit of maybe souls saved. Fruit of giving and sharing with others. There's a real change in the person's life. But the other one, there's no change. There's no fruit. There's really no growth. Oh, they come to church usually. But there's no change. There's no good works. So what do we conclude about the two? Now be careful. Be very careful here. Because we can't see the heart. I can't see the heart. But probably the first one had dynamic faith, and he received Christ and he was saved. Again, I can't see the heart, but I can see the fruit. Salvation is the root. Good works are the fruit. Amen. Probably he's saved. The other? Again, can't see his heart. Can't see the heart. But probably that person made a profession of faith without really receiving Christ into his heart. Had dead faith. DOA. It was dead on arrival. Dead faith. Faith. The kind of faith that saves a soul shows up on the outside, becomes visible through a changed life and good works. Let me tell you a story and we'll be finished. But the story is told about, it was in China. We have some of our Chinese people here. It was in China, Bob, that a man came to a missionary. And he came to the missionary and he said, and missionaries love people like this, I want to be saved. I want to become a Christian. Wouldn't you love that, Bob? I mean, don't you love that, people? You ever have anybody do that? But this man came up, I want to be saved. I want to become a Christian. And the missionary said, wow, that is wonderful. How did you hear the good news about Jesus Christ? How did you hear the gospel? And the man said to the missionary, I have never heard the gospel, but I've seen it. I had a friend who was an opium addict, and he was a violent man. And then he became a Christian. and his life was changed. He's no longer addicted to opium. He is no longer a violent man, but a gracious, merciful man. And he goes around and he helps people and he blesses people all the time. I haven't heard the gospel. I've seen it. I want what he has. Amen. I want to be a Christian. Folks, listen. That's dynamic faith. That's the kind of faith we want. Amen?
Amen.
We don't want to just talk faith. We don't want to just have Christ in our head or have an experience. Whoa, have an experience. Don't brag about your faith. Live it.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
So we got to look. How's your faith? And this is important because, again, we've got to look. I don't want anybody to miss heaven because they didn't understand about faith. Do you have dynamic faith? Is it dead? Do you see any change in your life? Is it a head faith? Oh, yeah, I believe in the Westminster Confession. So do the demons. Is it an experiential thing? Oh, I know God worked in my life. I felt God. Well, that's great. Are you saved? Oh, folks, let the Holy Spirit minister to us. Only dynamic faith can save. Lord, we just bow before you right now. And Father, I just pray for everyone that hears this message. Lord, we know faith is a gift. And I pray, God, Lord, I don't want dead faith in my life. It's fruitless, it's powerless, it's useless. It's just a bunch of talk. I don't want to have that kind of faith, Lord. I don't want to have demonic faith. I don't want to just be one who can spit scripture and give intellectual assent to creeds and confessions and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to just have, Lord, an experience. We need you. And we need, as Christian people, to have dynamic faith. Faith that is, maybe they can't see our heart, but Lord, they can see our lives. That's the kind of faith we want. Lord, minister this to us, we pray, and help us to be, as people that are of faith, Bible fellowship, help us to have dynamic faith. In Jesus' name, amen.